know that we just love to keep every law there is, don't we? Speed laws, stop sign laws, all those other kinds of laws, and especially the law of the Ten Commandments. And we just keep them all the time, don't we? And the Bible says there in Psalms, the great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Love thy law. We love him because it's there in our hearts. That's the only way we can do it. So we begin with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your name that you have not left us to our own devices to care. Thank you for sending Jesus to show us your way of truth and light. Please be with us now. Help us to understand and to love your perfect way for each of us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, there's God upon his throne amid the peace and beauty of heaven. In contrast to the situation of woe that we've created for ourselves. What a contrast. I appreciate Pastor's sermon last week. It included material from the book Education that gave a good survey of events when Christ came to earth. That account helps us to understand our present serious and confused situation. It helps me to see that there's a flow to history, a flow that God understands all about. As God understood what was happening then, he understands what we're going through now, and he has made ample provision for all the challenges we face. Our job has simply been to listen to his still, small voice, despite the famine going on in our lives. In allowing ourselves to be led by the crowd and in following our natural inclination, do we really think that we know better than God, that we can properly guide our ship in the perilous, tumultuous waters of life when we cannot even see beneath the surface? At the present time, there is such a great contrast between heaven and earth. So we are told, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. God has always been a part of everything that has happened in the past, and he continues to have an intense interest in our lives and guides us in the direction that is best for each of us. The principalities and powers of heaven are watching the warfare which appears discouraging and formidable. Formidable means inspiring fear through being impressively large. So our warfare appears discouraging and formidable, yet new conquests are achieved as Christians under their Redeemer go forth to fight the good fight of faith. All the heavenly angels are at the service of the humble, believing people of God, and as the Lord's army of workers sing their praises, the choir of us join with them in ascribing praise to God and to the Son. We need to understand better than we do the mission of the angels. Every child of God has the cooperation of heavenly beings. Invisible armies of light and power attend the meek and lowly ones who believe and claim the promises of God. Angels that excel in strength stand at God's right hand, ministering for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, each of us is able to experience personally only a few events during the brief time that we are allotted. Along that span of time and history, which began at the Garden of Eden and extends into eternity beyond us, we do not really know, in the view of eternity, what would be the best course to take from life's many choices. But as we trust and obey our leader, he will make known what we should do step by step, and thus we will fulfill our purpose in the scheme of things. And when we all meet again, then all our questions are answered, we will be satisfied with how he has led us in every instance. The teacher sent from God. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jesus, heaven gave to man its best and greatest. He who has stood in the counsels of the Most High, he who has dwelt in the innermost sanctuary of the Eternal, was the one chosen to be a helpless child, to grow and to live a holy life in obedience to God, and to die victorious as a man. Jesus' life and teachings give us a pure revelation of the nature of God. Did our Jesus fear death? No, he did not. His anguish on the cross was over the sense of loss of his Father's favor. By faith, he rested in him whom it had ever been his joy to obey. In submission, he committed himself to God, and the sense of the loss of his Father's favor was withdrawn. Christ's faith was the victory. And our faith in Christ's victory is counted to us. Every once in a while in life, God will take us. He wakes us up from our immersion in the things of this world. In the Garden of Eden, the reality of God and His love for the pair was fresh in the minds of our parents, as God visited frequently and communed with them. Consider their awe-inspiring surroundings. All the creatures fearlessly interacting with them and revealing their unique roles in the creation. Consider the loving relationship that was shared by the Holy Pair and the words of their Creator that reverberated in their minds throughout the day. It was their highest pleasure to do His will. Compare that existence with the artificial life that modern man is too often surrounded by, the concrete and glass skyline, the passing by of so many nameless, self-absorbed faces on the streets, the constant effort at work to gain the advantage by stepping on the backs of associates, the insecurity of personal health and wealth, the strife and dysfunction in interpersonal relationships, the stresses from all directions, the doubts and insecurities in life, the calamities across the globe, or sometimes within the family. How very far has the evolution of human society taken mankind from the perfect idea that God, in His infinite wisdom and beneficence, comes for us? Through Christ has been communicated every ray of divine light that has ever reached our fallen world. It was He who has spoken to every man who has declared God's word. All the excellences revealed in the earth's greatest and noblest souls were simply reflections of Him. The purity and beneficence of Joseph, the faith and meekness and long-suffering of Moses, the steadfastness of Elijah, the integrity of Daniel, the passion and self-sacrifice of Paul, and the mental and spiritual power manifest in all faithful men, were but flashes of His glory, and Him was the perfect ideal. To reveal this ideal as the only true standard of life and sanctification, to show what every human being might become through the indwelling of divinity. For this, Christ came to the world. He came to show how men are to be trained as the sons of God. They are to practice the principles to live the life of heaven. Much of the world does not even realize the real nature of our problems occurring on all of us. But God has made ample provisions for our shortcomings, and may we accept His interventions in our lives as they were intended, to bring us joy and peace as we live by faith to fulfill His purposes for us in the world. God's greatest gift will be so to meet man's greatest need. A light of life appears when the world's darkness was deepest. Through false issues in the minds of men have long been turned away from God. In educational institutions, human philosophy has taken the place of divine revelation. Instead of the heaven-given standard of truth, which is the only source of truth, men have accepted their own standard, one of darkness and degradation. Having separated from God and depending upon the power of humanity, their strength is merely weakness. The last true excellence is because of our appearance and self-exaltation. From time to time, teachers arose who pointed men to the source of truth, right principles were proclaimed, and human lives witnessed to that power. But these efforts made no lasting impression. There was a brief restraint of the current of evil, but its downward course was not stopped. The world loved darkness rather than light. When Christ came to the earth, humanity seemed to be at about its lowest point. The very foundations of society were undermined. Life had become false and artificial. Seeking to ground any thoughts of religion, men turned towards material things. Putting eternity out of their thinking, they lived merely for the present. And as they ceased to recognize the divine, they ceased to regard the human. This is a natural consequence for lovers of God. And without his influence, we would, of course, have no regard for his creation. Truth, honor, integrity, confidence, and compassion departed from the earth. Confidence, I like that. How does the Christian live? It is given by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. It is trusting God in trial, in darkness, as well as in the light. It is walking by faith and not by sight. It is relying on God with unquestioning confidence and resting in His love. Relentless greed and consuming ambition give way to universal distrust. That is, we perceive in others what lives in our own hearts. The idea of beauty, of the obligation of those with our talents and abilities to help those less gifted, and the ideas of human dignity and human rights, these have become like a fable. People were treated like beasts of burden or exploited for personal gain. Wealth and power, ease and self-indulgence were the highest good to be diligently pursued in life. Physical degeneracy, mental stupor, stupor is a state of neural unconsciousness, and spiritual death characterized with time. As the evil passions and purposes of men banish God from their thoughts, things only got worse. They felt that God was as sinful as they were, that the purposes of his laws and his dealings with men were selfish. The lower classes regarded God as being like their oppressors. The purpose of their religious practices was to appease God from fear and to try and manipulate him to get what they wanted. They went through the ceremonies out of a sense of obligation. Unrestrained evil grew stronger, while goodness decreased. Controlled by Satan, men received his influence. The whole world was corrupted. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walking about, seeking who he may devour. Has the devil ever lost his appetite for our souls? No, he has not. The great controversy between good and evil will increase in intensity to the end of time. Satan has always manifested his wrath against the Church of Christ, and God has bestowed his grace and spirit upon his people to strengthen them. With God on our side, how can we go wrong? As the Church approaches her final deliverance, Satan will work with greater power. He comes having great wrath because he knoweth that you have placed for us. He will work with all power and strength and mind wonders. For 6,000 years, that mastermind that once was the highest among the angels of God has been dedicated to the work of deception and ruin. All the depths of personal skill and subtlety acquired, all the cruelty developed during these years of his ages, will be brought to bear against God's people in the final conflict. At this time, the special endowment of divine grace and power is needed, no less than an apostolic grace. Consider a fighter pilot who has to bail off behind enemy lines when his plane fails again. Or when your car breaks down in the worst part of town where you're planned, then suddenly you are in the minority. We live in the land of the enemy. We cannot ever let our God down. Satan knows just what elements he has to deal with, and he displays his infernal wisdom in various devices to entrap souls to a room. How do you feel when someone is watching? Well, Satan watches every step that is taken and makes many suggestions to us that we are not aware of, and often these suggestions are followed rather than obtaining counsel for God's will. His finely woven, deadly net is skillfully prepared to entangle the unwary. It may often be disguised under a covering of rags, but those who become its victims pierce themselves through with many sorrows. As a result, we see wrecks of humanity everywhere. I have wondered about how so many things seem to be working against humanity nowadays. I cannot hardly imagine that men working individually, or even men trying to work together, could be so effective in ruining our environment, in destroying our families, and causing everybody, it seems, with any unique characteristics, to feel that they were being marginalized and therefore entitled. So the whole world suddenly needed to make special accommodations for them. And then there's God's special promise in the sky to all of mankind that he would never again cause a catastrophic flood. This sign was corrupted into something entirely different, so that some people may avoid using the rainbow because they don't like the modern connotations. And greater numbers of people, supposedly are confused about what gender they are. And poor behavior in public office does not necessarily condemn you to obscurity. On the contrary, it can catapult you to notoriety and many lucrative speaking engagements. Just smile and the world smiles with you. Might be their model. So appearances are an adequate substitute for substance. So many things seem to be working against what is true and right that we may give up hope to bring about positive change. And actually, that's a good thing to realize that. We should consider that all these things are happening at so many levels all at once in a coordinated manner. Are the work of a mastermind. Our strength cannot be defeated this enemy. There is only one hope for humanity. Christ came to set matters right, to restore a knowledge of God to mankind. He came to set aside the false teaching of the religious leaders who have misrepresented God. He came to manifest the nature of his law, to reveal in his own character the beauty of holiness. Christ came to the world with the love of eternity, sweeping away the burdensome requirements which have been attached to the law of God. He showed that the law of God is a law of love, an expression of the divine goodness, part and parcel of Almighty God. He showed that obedience to its principles brought happiness, and with it the stability, the very foundation and framework of human society. Stability. There are several words that come to mind that today seem so far away from our consciousness. Unattainable, is just to say this. Stability is one of these words. Peace is another. And happiness and joy and truth and goodness and virtue and principle. Does the human voice anybody else? God's law is given to men as a shield, a protection from evil. The law guards the rights, the individuality of every human being. It keeps the superior from oppressing those who are under him. It prohibits the subordinate from disobedience to his superior. It ensures man's well-being, both for this world and for the world to come. To the obedient is given the promise of eternal life, for its principles endure forever. God does not change. The law of love is fundamental to who he is. Christ came to demonstrate the power of divine principles to regenerate humanity. He came to show us how to live. Clearly, we don't know how to operate our lives. We think we know how to manage our lives and the environment, but look at the very serious problems that we have created for ourselves. Some say that a few decades is all that we have left. Well, we know that God continuously sustains this earth and all life. Our lives have always been in his hands. His will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So I'm not afraid that men have conspired and are ruining the earth. The value of all things is based on appearance. As religion declined in power, it became merely a display, a show. The educators of this time sought to gain respectability by outward appearance. In all this, the life of Jesus was a sharp rebuke. His life demonstrated the worthlessness of those things that men regard as essential. He was born in primitive surroundings, sharing a peasant's home, working as a craftsman. He lived a life of obscurity, associating himself with faithless, unrecognized laborers. But in this life well lived, Jesus followed the divine plan of education. His education was gained directly from heaven-appointed sources, from useful work, from the study of the scriptures and of nature, and from the experiences of life. These are full of instruction to all who come with a willing hand, an open mind, and an understanding heart. So the material aspirations of the world hold nothing for the Christian, but the ways of God will stand the test of time, and we praise his name for all that he has done, and all the people continue to do on Father's Day. So we pray. Our great Father in heaven, Master of all things, our security, our all-sufficiency, the one who loves us infinitely and who will not let anything inappropriate happen to us, we praise your name, that name above all names, given among men, by which we shall be saved. Thank you for watching over us, guide us, mold us, challenge us as we need. We give you our lives. Thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.